Hello, this is Wade. You know, it's always my hope that you'll be blessed and inspired in your walk with the Lord as you listen today.
Well, my wife is going to be gone for 3 weeks. She is with grandchildren. She is burdened with grandchildren. She looked very sad as I left her. She hardly noticed I left. So, no, she was very concerned because she saw the storms coming across the I-70, and I didn't get in any of the bad weather. It was just rain, which made my car look really clean. So I praise God for that. Well, if you have your Bibles today, would you turn them over to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 24, and we're going to be reading down to verse 32, and I entitled this message, What Death Could Not Do. What Death Could Not Do. Charles Spurgeon, he was a famous evangelist back in the late 1800s, and he said this, and I quote, I have heard of people being afraid of the pains of death. There are no pains of death. The pain is in life. Death is the end of pain. It is all over. Put the saddle on the right horse. Do not blame death for what he does not do. It is life that brings pain. Think about that. It makes a lot of sense. What we're going to do today is we're going to look at the first sermon that was ever preached after Jesus's death, his resurrection, and his ascension back into heaven. So what is God trying to say to the church from that very first sermon that Peter preached? And we're going to look at the last half of that sermon. And it starts in verse 24 of Acts chapter 2. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You've made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. And then Peter begins to speak, and he says, Brothers, I tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day, but he was a prophet, and he knew that God promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of that fact. Now, I entitle this message, What Death Could Not Do. And the first thing that I want you to notice is what death could not do, and death could not stop Jesus. Death could not stop Jesus at all. I mean, this passage reminds us of how important the resurrection of Jesus Christ was to God's plans. However, this passage points out also that the resurrection of Jesus was not the end of the plan, but it was just the beginning of his plans. And that is huge. Jesus promised also that you and I could leverage this power through the resurrection, and we call it salvation. And through this salvation, it's a transformation of heart and mind, and ultimately, it leads the way for us to be filled with his Holy Spirit. And so, not only the Holy Spirit, but Holy Spirit and power. Peter is reminding us, those who are listening to Jesus, he's reminding us that Jesus himself predicted it, promised it, and then pulled it off. Anytime you can do that, that's pretty good. And as confirmation, Peter then talks about David in a psalm that he wrote and how he would always have someone sitting on the throne, and this would be the Messiah, and this would be Jesus Christ. So not only did Jesus fulfill the prophecy of David, but hundreds and hundreds of years later, Jesus would not see decay, just like David had prophesied. Verse 24 says, But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Right. He was faster than lightning, I guess. Could never get his hands on him. Every time he squeezed, he squirt right out. Just like a bar of soap, I guess. I mean, what's fascinating about this verse, though, particularly, is the Greek word for agony. It says the agony of death. That word in the Greek is Odin, and it is usually used for birth pains. Birth pains. It's not used typically for death, but Peter uses it under the utterance of the Holy Spirit as he's preaching. He uses this particular word, and it's highly ironic that here we have a word that is used for the pain and the travail and the labor of bringing a life into existence, and he was suffering under the agony or the Odin of death, and God freed him because death could not keep a hold of him. What a wonderful picture that is. N.T. Wright, a very famous Anglican, wrote this, and I quote, he says, so we see that death could not stop Jesus, but also we see that death could not stop Jesus. No, I'm sorry. I am reading above, and I should be reading below. The church is called to share the pain and the hope, and that's what we're called to. We're called to come along those who are dying in the pain of death, but we're also to share with them the hope of rebirth, that regeneration that takes place when we come to Christ. So the second thing that not only could Jesus not stop, death could not stop Jesus' death, but secondly, death could not stop God's plans. And that's a great thing. So now Peter goes from speaking about Jesus and he starts talking about King David. And one of the things that really amazes me about this passage is I've never really saw this before. You know how that is when you read the Bible and you're like, you know everything, all of a sudden something new kind of slaps you upside the head and goes, hey, I don't remember that. But this is like what we're going to read here, sort of like the mission of Jesus Christ. In verse 25 it says, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. So David is speaking of a personal revelation as the Holy Spirit is speaking to him. He's speaking out and he's writing this psalm, but it's the Holy Spirit actually writing the psalm. And here's a man who understands New Testament beliefs before anybody else. I mean, he's living in a day and age of sacrifice. He's living in a day and age of when you sacrificed animals and blood to atone for sin. But he is like a New Testament believer. He's seeing something that was not present then. He is seeing the Messiah. And here's this man who understands this. And David tells us how it is that he can see this. In verse 28, he says, you have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Think about that. You have made it known to me, these paths of life. You fill me with joy. And David says all of this under the utterance of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, we see verse 32, and Jesus was raised, this Jesus was raised to life, and we are witnesses of this fact, Peter states. So he's using David's words, but I want you to consider these four things from Peter and these three things from David. We see this, God raised this Jesus to life. That is a key phrase. We're witnesses. We saw it. We saw him raised. We ate with him. We saw the hole in his side. He's able to walk through walls and come into a place. He can just disappear at a moment. He can hide his identity. He is something different than he's ever been before. And Peter says, we're witnesses of this. And then he talks about David, and David says, you have made known to me the paths of life. And then number three, it says, God will fill me with joy in your presence. And number four, I saw the Lord always before me. Can I just share with you? Jesus said this. He said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. I only speak what the Father wants me to say. I do the will of my Father. He was restricted in that way. He only took what the Father gave him, and he shared it with us. This is the mission of Jesus Christ, to make the Father known to us, to show us the paths of life, to be able to fill us with joy in his presence, to see this Lord always before us. And there's only can be one conclusion in all of this, and that is, he is the fulfillment of David's prophetic utterance. He is the true Messiah. Amen. Jesus Christ, Charles Malick said this, and I quote, Jesus Christ is everywhere. He is behind everything we see, if only we have eyes to see him. And he is the Lord of history, if only we penetrate deep enough beneath the surface, end quote. He is there. Now, we see Christ because someone made us aware of it. They saw Christ because someone made them aware of it. But we see in this passage where Jesus turns to his disciples and those he taught, and he made them aware of it. And from that day on, it's been handed down and handed down and handed down. Not just passed on like a story, but handed down with power. That 2,000 years later, we're still seeing people come to Jesus Christ, people's lives changed, people coming out of darkness, great, terrible things that they existed in before, and God cleans them up and causes them to walk out, and they are great witnesses of who Jesus Christ is. Amen. Our life should be a light, amen? Our life should be salt to this earth. That's what Jesus said himself. Ultimately, it started that first morning, though, when Christ came out of that tomb and was alive forevermore. It all started then. I really do not know who said this, but it's a great quote, and I love it. And it has to be somebody from the British Isles because of what they say. But it says this, and I quote, I'm far within the mark when I say that all of the armies that ever marched, all of the navies that ever were built, all of the parliaments that ever sat, and all of the kings that ever reigned put together have not affected the life of man upon the earth as powerfully as this one solitary life, Jesus of Nazareth, end quote. I mean, he is the power. He is the strength. He rose again, and he is who we follow. Think about it. This was not just the musings of a man who thought he was the Messiah. No, this man's teaching, this man's miracles, this man's fulfilled prophecy in his life. Even David, the greatest king of Israel, said, I had a vision of the Messiah. And he said, you shall fill me with joy. Ah, Jesus not only rose from the dead, my friends, but he made all the promises come to pass. I mean, Jesus rose from the grave. This forever unlocked the promises of God. Otherwise, we would be no better off, no better for it, and no emptier of ourselves because of it. Because here's the thing, you can only be full of God as you are empty of yourself. You need more of Jesus and less of yourself. The problem is we like to run around with a lot of ourselves and little Jesus. But that's not how we need. I mean, this world's getting tougher every day. We know we see the signs of the times. I mean, things are happening. And you know, the truth is, we don't know what's going the future's going to hold. But I know this, because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, the Word of God tells me plainly how my world is going to end. And it tells me how I'm going to end. And I have great hope in the Savior of the world. Amen. So Jesus rose from the grave. He unlocked all the promises. Some would say, if Jesus is God, prove it. Well, all I'm going to tell you is this. The miracles prove it. The prophets foretold it. And the apostles witnessed it. What more do you need? What more do you need? I mean, to be honest with you, if you're looking for science to prove it for you, you're going to be looking for a long time, because science don't really believe in God. I mean, they're not looking for that. They're looking for something beyond God, because they're not following God. You can only see what you're looking for. Isn't it amazing that hummingbirds always find nectar and vultures always find carrion? You get what you look for, and that's the truth. You see, death could not stop Jesus. Death could not stop the plans of God. And guess what? Death could not stop the coming of the Holy Spirit. The resurrection is like a key that unlocks all the plans of God, all the promises of God. And you cannot get to heaven without Jesus coming out of the tomb. You cannot receive the Holy Spirit unless Jesus rose from the grave. You cannot be transformed into a Christ likeness without Jesus becoming a man. Theologically speaking, it all hinged on the resurrection. Everything was proved. As John Stott says, and I quote, we have much more to receive. We have much more to receive. I said, we have much more to receive. But God has no more to give than he has already given in Jesus Christ. You see, sometimes we go out and we got a piece of bread. We're like, all right, we got Christ. You know what? We need to get away with a whole loaf. We need to go in with a whole shopping cart. Let's leave as much as God as we can, because this world will consume every bit of it if we're not careful. Jesus is the Messiah. Salvation comes from no one else. The Holy Spirit is poured out on all men. Jesus is the Messiah, and the promises of God are all unlocked. This chapter is really all about the Holy Spirit and the promise that he gave to his disciples. Go and wait in Jerusalem until I send you the Holy Spirit. Seems very appropriate to have the Spirit move this morning, have people come forward and be prayed for. And it just reminds me of how important it is for people to come one-on-one and to meet God at an altar, to be able to have some time at the altar. And we should have time in our altars at home, in our prayer closets, because that's what we need to be charged up. I mean, we're like Teslas, right? We're self-driving cars, but we need to be charged every once in a while, amen? Because this world will rob us. The outpouring would come with such power. When it came, the outpouring came so much that it literally overthrew the devil's claims, infiltrated the highest levels of Rome and government, and set in motion the rise of evangelism that has been going on ever since. Jesus told his disciples, go out and make disciples, baptizing them all in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. My friends, that has been going on. And revivals are happening in countries, South America, Africa. Even though Muslims are doing terrible things in Africa right now to Christians. And we see Christians being killed all around the world and taken out. But the hope of God still lives, and it will never falter. My point this morning is an important one. None of this would happen. None of this would happen unless Jesus died and rose again and ascended back into heaven. And remember what the angel said to the disciples as they watched. Why are you standing up, looking up in the sky? This same Jesus will come back in the same way one day. He's coming back for his church. Peter tells us this in Acts 2, 33 and 35. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. And I'm telling you this morning that God's busy right now preparing the enemies of Christ for that day. And you can be sure of that. I just have a few words of advice before I close this sermon. And next week, if the Lord should tarry, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, the first half of this passage. But I wanted to set the foundation here. If Jesus Christ rose from the dead, then we know that we can receive the Holy Spirit and power. That's what it says. So first I want to just say, turn from your sin. Turn from your sin. Walk away from it. I know it's not easy. It's a lifelong battle. The race has to be run. The fight has to be fought. That's exactly what Paul said when he came to the end of the road. He said, the race has been won. I have fought the good fight. My friends, we need to fight. We need to resist the enemy. It says if we resist the enemy, he will do what? He will flee from us. Walk humbly in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And lastly, and this is in my notes, I'm just not making it up, but lastly, forgive those who have hurt you. Forgive those who have hurt you. They don't even know you're hurting. They don't even care that you're hurting. What they did was terrible. What they did was atrocious. But let me tell you, they don't care. They don't know. And if they do know, I hope they care, but they may not. But the truth is, the only person who's being captured in this cell is you. So let it go. Let it go. Forgive them just as God forgave you. Stop nursing it. Stop rehearsing it. Reverse it and then disperse it. Let it go. Let it go. It won't do you any good. The devil will come with it every day of the week if you'll let him. You need to stop giving in and resist the enemy. And if you do, he will flee from you, okay? Now, just to sum it up, what death could not do, it could not stop Jesus, could not stop God's plans, and it could not stop the coming of the Holy Spirit. He has come. And my friends, he is a gift that you can have. Let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I praise you.
Hey, this is Pastor Wade. Thanks so much for stopping by and listening today. And like always, my prayer is that the Lord would bless you and guard your heart for that day.